Hey, everybody. I hope folks are having a good summer and staying cool. I really appreciate everybody taking the time to join this call. And if you guys will bear with me, I want to just talk a little bit about not only the Iran nuclear deal, but also the stakes involved as we move forward to implement it. The people on the line were active in our campaign back in 2008. A lot of people were active in the response to the Iraq War and the decisions that led us into what ended up being an enormous strategic mistake for the United States. And when I was running, foreign policy was a major topic, and there were a couple of basic principles that I laid out. I said that it was important for the war in Iraq to mind. I said that we should never fear a position of strength to try to find diplomatic solutions to big foreign policy challenges. I said that I would be unequivocal in my support for the security of the state of Israel, our greatest in the region. And I said that one of my top foreign policy priorities was to make sure that we focused attention on proliferation, mass destruction, particularly nuclear. The work that we've done over the last 7 years has touched on all these issues. But where have all these issues come together more forcefully? The historic deal that was recently announced between Iran and an entire international community has mobilized to the table and to make sure that Iran does not get a nuclear weapon. Many of you obviously have been following the issue in the press, but I just want to lay out why this deal is so important and why I am absolutely convinced that it's not just the best of a series of bad alternatives, but actually is a very good deal that we should be proud and that achieves critical security objectives, not just for the United States, but our allies and the world, including the state of Israel. Now, let me just give you a rough outline of what exactly this deal does. This deal cuts off the four main pathways for Iran to get a nuclear weapon. For the first, basically, drastically restricts Iran's nuclear program so that we exactly what they're doing at all times, shuts down under facilities that might otherwise a facility that might have been used for plutonium production so that we are confident it cannot be used for the production of nuclear materials. Requires Iran to reduce by 9% its stockpiles of enriched uranium and set up an unprecedented verification and inspection regime, which is a 24/7 coverage of all their declared nuclear facilities, the entire production line from uranium to the centrifuges that are required to enrich uranium, all the way to for an additional 5 years, it requires Iran to ship out all its stockpiles, and throughout this period greatly restricts the research and development that Iran can do around nuclear power. And for years to come after that, it subjects Iran to the most rigorous inspection regime in history. Iran, under this agreement, can never get a nuclear weapon. It's not permitted to ever weaponize nuclear power. And the inspection and verification mechanisms that have been put in place will continue not after, long after not only I've been president, but after the next president's been president, and the president after that's been president. In exchange for it, we are removing sanctions that we systematically stitched together with the help of our allies. So Iran will get access to dollars that have been frozen overseas, but partly because of the application of our sanctions, Iran's economy has contracted badly. They've been suffering essentially a depression because of these sanctions. And it will take till about 2022, even with sanctions relief, for them to get back to where they would have been had there never been sanctions at all. Now, you will hear a lot of arguments out there about why this is a quote-unquote bad deal from people who, frankly, would be opposed to any deal with Iran. And I'm just going to knock out a couple of them that you may be, partly from the $20 million that's being spent lobbying against the bill on TV ads that are already running, partly from some of the same comments and elected former administrators that were getting into the Iraq war and were making these exact same claims back to 2003 to Iraq. So, number one, you said, well, gee, because not based on truth, but rather based on, and the Iranian regime is in fact a theocracy that is anti-American, anti-Israel, and denies the Holocaust, and supports terrorist proxies, and has been involved in destabilizing activities throughout the region. Might try to cheat. But because of this deal, we are absolutely certain to catch them more effectively than we. Costs of them cheating become extraordinarily high. We've set up a system in which, if they were caught cheating, we can federally reimpose the entire regime of sanctions that are currently in place, and Iran's economy would go back into the tank. You will hear that the inspectors may not get enough to catch them cheating, except the way this thing is set up, we have the power to Iran may have about access declared, and did not cooperate. Once again, we're in a position to put sanctions back in place. During the extraordinarily difficult for Iran, we almost searched quickly and to reimpose. Here I say, well, the first 15 years, but after 15 years, they're going to have all these centrifuges, and now they are going to be in a position to kick out all the inspectors, cheat, and they are able to have a nuclear program, and the nature of peaceful nuclear programs, they are going to have more capacity than they do right now. With that logic, though, is you know, breakout capacity 6 months from now or from now. So it's kind of now we're back in a situation in which we might have to force in order to prevent a nuclear weapon. And 15 years from now, we have established and one thing we need to know about a nuclear program. The president will be in a much better they have to. Military action to Iran from getting a nuclear weapon. You'll be so soon that activities in the region. I doubt that some of the money they get will be used for, but keep in mind that Iran's military budget is $15. Ours is $500 billion. $1 billion, or 10 that of Iran's. We are going to be able to deter Iran from attacking any of our friends and allies through conventional forces. The danger is if they get a nuclear weapon, which is exactly what this deal prevents. The third danger is that this, in some ways, legitimizes Iran and so prevents us from counteracting the work that they do in terms of financing or in fact. There's nothing in this deal that prevents us from forcefully confronting Iran on non-nuclear behavior that is contrary to us or the allies. So, for example, we will continue under this agreement to interdict and prevent Iran from arming Hezbollah under legal authorities. That doesn't go away. Now, one of the things that we do work on is implicacy of our friends and allies in the region, improving our intelligence and interdiction, because Iran has been able to get around many of these international prohibitions, even while they've been in place. But the problem there is not because somehow this deal eliminates our legal authorities. The problem is that we've got up our game, the cooperation that we are prepared to engage in with allies in the region. So the bottom line is this. Every argument that has been put forward against they're inaccurate or presupposes that what we should be doing if we were going to negotiate is to get a deal in which Iran completely foregoes any ability to engage in even peaceful nuclear power. And in the world of our dreams, that's horrible. But in the real world, there's no foreign policy who would suggest that Iran, which is fiercely proud, would have agreed to that. In the real world, this is a deal that gets the job done. And if you hear people say that we should have gotten a better deal, you have to ask them, what exactly do you mean? If what they mean is that Iran should have completely eliminated any claim to peaceful nuclear power, then what you have to say to them is that Iran would not do that, and the only way to achieve that effectively was if we were prepared to go to war. Now, some people will object and say the president's putting forward a false choice. We don't have to go to war. We could just continue with the sanctions we have and further weaken Iran until they finally come, you know, hat in hand for relief. The problem is the reason the sanctions have been so effective is because we have the entire world community behind us. And the world community got behind us because we told them, I told them, that we were sincere about a diplomatic solution, that this was a way to avert war, and because of their belief in our willingness sincerely to resolve this diplomatically, they were willing to go along, oftentimes at considerable cost, because a lot of them needed Iranian oil and could get it cheap. They were willing to come along with us, understanding that we would be negotiating in good faith. It has now concluded that, in fact, we achieved. And there is near unanimity in the world in support of this deal. Traditional allies like and the French, Germans, and the South Koreans, and the Australians, so comparison in some cases adverse of ours, China, Russia, and others. And as a consequence, we now rejected that we negotiated and pressured the entire world to bring about. 90% of nuclear scientists and operation experts, and the overwhelming majority of foreign leaders, Republican and Democrat, and anybody who knows anything about the Iran regime operate and the nature of the program, if those folks, our allies, our friends, and the people who know most about, including Moniz, who is a expert from MIT, if in the face of that consensus, if a Congress that rejected the, would we miss our best opportunity for a year, confronted with the problem of us having to engage military action to getting, or at minimum, we would find ourselves completely isolated from the rest of the world with no credibility to negotiate on any international agreement, because people would believe our administration will be overridden by politics in Congress and here in Washington. So the stakes could not be higher. And under the summer, the challenges that I'm putting everybody on the phone, you guys have to be active and involved and informed and start your voices heard to members of Congress, because taking place on the other side. It's fierce. It is well-fixed. It is relentless. And in the absence of your voices, we're going to see the same array of forces that got us into the Iraq War, leading to us, we forego a historic opportunity, and we are back on the potential conflict. The facts are on our side, certain about it than this one right here, but the politics are going to be tough. All of you don't get involved. Active. Frustration that I've always had about the run-up to the Iraq was really sure it was too late, as opposed to on the front end. Now, the advantage right now is you got a president in the Oval Office who is on your side and cares about making sure that non-promoting U.S. and Israel security, promoting diplomacy, and changing war mindset. Bully pulpit as I am, it's not enough. And if you've got a whole bunch of folks, you know, big tech writers to political ads and running TV ads and billionaires who happily grant super PACs, and they are the squeeze on members of Congress, even well-meaning ones and good folks, and they don't hear, it can slip away. So I want everybody on the phone to get moving. Right now, the opponents of this deal have been flooding congressional offices. 20 million ads up now to put pressure on members of Congress, and they're feeling it. I'm meeting these members of Congress, and they buy arguments of the opponents. I can tell when they start getting screwed. They start because they're feeling political heat. And you guys have to counteract with the facts. The good news, you don't have to spin. You just and the truth will out here as long as you guys are helping to carry it. I can't carry it by myself. Okay? So, thank you for such a long prayer where something of such concern is so clearly in front of us. And, you know, you have the chance to make some hits by influence of this whole process. But sit back and wait, and then after the fact, suddenly complain. We need your citizenship right now. Thanks, everybody. Bye-bye.
And ladies and gentlemen, that does conclude your conference call. We do thank you for your participation and for using AT&T's executive teleconference. You may connect.